Blog Talk Radio. Alone. And a very, very good evening to everyone out there this evening, this February evening, February 1st. We are pleased to welcome you back to Contact. And this is your host, Leslie Mitchell-Clark. And, of course, I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Wes Roberts. Good evening, Wes. How are you doing?
Hi, Leslie. Very well. Thank you.
All right. We're in a bit of a deep freeze here in the Northeast and having yet a bit more snow, but it's nice and cozy here at the Contact Studio. And I must tell you, we are both so thrilled because we are welcoming to the program for the first time award-winning filmmaker, crop circle researcher, and expert Patty Greer. And Patty is going to be sharing her latest information with us, as well as discussing the possible origins and intentions of these mysterious and extraterrestrial messages. And in the second half of the show, we're going to be opening up the phone lines for listener calls and comments. And as always, the Contact chat room is going to be open throughout the program. So if you do have a question for Patty Greer, you can either give us a jingle or you can go ahead and I guess chat your question. Now, I did want to mention that Patty Greer is also going to be a featured speaker in the upcoming Alien Cosmic Expo 2015, which is taking place in Brantford, Ontario on June 26th, 27th, and 28th. And Brantford, by the way, is only about an hour's ride from Toronto. It's quite close. And the tickets are now available, and you can get complete information as to the many wonderful guests that are going to be appearing in addition to Patty Greer at aliencosmicexpo.com. So we'll be chatting a bit more about that later. Now, I see from the phone line, I think that Patty may be calling in right now on the virtual switchboard. I'm just going to pick up the call right now. Hello, is this Patty?
It is. Good evening.
Oh, Patty, good evening. We are so thrilled to have you on the show this evening. I mean, not only are you going to be talking about one of our most favorite subject matters here at Contact, which certainly is ET communication in all of its myriad forms, but I also am very excited to hear about your own personal experiences. And certainly I did have a chance to, if not see the complete film, to see large sections of your wonderful award-winning films. And I'm just going to run down the titles here. The Shift Has Hit the Fan. I love that one. And that, of course, is about alternative free energy and a lot of other wonderful subjects. Crop Circle Update, The Wake-Up Call, and I was watching the other film, Four Stories, One Event, Other Worlds, and UFOs, ETs, Abductees, and Brilliant Minds, and The Wake-Up Call, Anybody Listening, and 2012, We're Already in It. So the entire spectrum of the crop circle experience from a scientific, a spiritual viewpoint is all in these films, as well as many, many personal experiences of a wide range of people that you have interviewed and interfaced with, as well as experts. So, Patty, congratulations on this incredible work that you are doing in assisting with the big wake-up call.
Well, thank you. I feel like we're on ship-to-ship radio.
Maybe we are.
Contact. We have made contact.
We have indeed. We have indeed.
But on the virtual radio, I just went right into the ship.
You did. It's sort of a combination of remote listening and remote viewing.
Indeed. Well, I think we do have a lot of unfortunate remote listening when we're not really inviting them. But, you know, the subject is really gaining momentum again.
Yes.
The whole everything, you know, ufology has never gone away, but the crop circle thing, somehow the media really found a need to slide it there under the rug. So people haven't talked about them. And the great crop circles that have happened, these clowns show up with ropes and boards and say, yeah, I did that one, so go back to sleep. And yes. Really, it works.
The very idea that those two old farts, you know, those two old drunken farts would be out
Second
there
Dave.
With the board and the string creating these incredible messages in, you know, binary code and whatever else is involved is absolutely ludicrous.
Well, even if they did, they also did them in France, Germany, Belgium, and Australia the same night. So even if they did, they're still moving at the speed of light to do it in all those countries on the same night in a variety of fields.
Phenomenal. Patty, tell me a little bit. Now, I know that most people probably feel that the crop circle experience is relatively new, but it's my feeling that this type of communication goes back centuries. There are some woodcuts. There are some various pieces of evidence. What have you found as far as, you know, what's the ground zero for crop circle communication?
The one we have definite confirmation of is in the 1700s.
Mm.
And when I go to England and I meet people with elders that are still alive and their memories are still alive, they always say, oh, yes, Grandmom used to go in the, what did they call them? The fairy rings. And they talked about them, you know, and the grandparents talked about them. And the kids remembered, that are now seniors, playing in the fairy rings. So
yeah.
We know at least 100 years of absolute true over there in England, which appears to be the epicenter of the crop circle phenomenon. And they're documented in almost every continent on a regular basis every year. Depending
mm-hmm.
on the growing season, that's when they show up in the different countries and continents. But very few have been left out. And a lot of the documentation, of course, with tremendous amounts of photographs and ground reports, is one thing, but then you have to figure that the reason that those were documented was, A, somebody walked by, B, a farmer went in his field, or C, somebody flew over. But what about all the crop circles where none of those happened?
Yeah.
And I think that there's a heck of a lot more that have not been documented.
Indeed, because you would have to have, I mean, it's like the plains of Nazca. One of the big mysteries is, you know, how were, you know, these allegedly primitive peoples able to, you know, construct these massive geoglyphs, you know, that can only really be seen, you know, from the air. Now, Patty, I was very interested in your personal experience that occurred in, I believe, in 2007. And you describe it as an out-of-body experience, but can you tell us a little bit about what happened to you that really triggered this incredible calling that you have?
Well, the calling was not in my parameters before that day.
Mm-hmm.
I was never trained in filmmaking, never thought about it. It wasn't on my bucket list. And crop circles and UFOs were not part of my dialogue ever. But as a child, I was always playing with the other dimensions. I started doing the Ouija board with my best friend when I was 7, and we were pretty consistent until we actually called in a scary demon. And
it was scary.
Oh, my God, we're 7 years old, you know.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic for the first probably 20 sessions we did. So, you know, I've always kind of dabbled and done ritual as in my, you know, varieties of decades I've lived through. But it wasn't until I needed some serious healing from mercury poisoning. The system in our country is really encouraging an awful lot of mercury poisoning through fillings, through flu shots, through...
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they're even finding mercury in white rice. There's so many things they're hiding mercury in. It's like, I'm sorry, I don't want to get mad, but I did get mercury poisoning. So it was really shocking to go through that experience. And in my desperation to heal, because I gave up on doctors, I went and laid in a crop circle. And that's what took me there.
Wow.
I had heard that it was miraculous for healing. So I went there, threw my arms open, laid down in a crop circle. Next thing I knew, I was thinking differently.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
A lot of people have reported out-of-body experiences for me, I thought I passed out. And when I woke up, I opened my eyes, laying on my back and looking at the sky. I saw plasma for the first time, and I could see it so clearly. It was first there was mosquitoes, which I shook away with my hand, and then the plasma was everywhere, different shapes. I've seen them ever since. When I'm outside with people, I can show people how to see it, and almost everybody is stunned. Oh, my God, I see it. Oh, my God, I see more. So, you know, it's really a matter of stopping being busy and distracted and taking the time to look into the sky with a really open mind and a relaxed vision. And I think that probably I was pretty hyped out because of where I had been taken, so that I could see so much so clearly. But laying on your back, you know, looking at the sky is a pretty good opportunity if you're gonna,
Yes, indeed.
What I saw, not only did they have specific shapes, but the third day of laying in crop circles on my back, now really watching these things intentionally, I started sketching them. And I actually saw round, clear plasma with egg sacs filled with eggs. And I don't say this at the top of your show to sound crazy. What I'm saying is whatever these things are that are in the sky that are showing themselves to a lot of people are actually reproducing.
Yeah.
And everybody I showed over there pretty much could see them. So Wiltshire, because they have microlights and people are, you know, going around looking, has been the epicenter for 30, 40 years. And tons of researchers are there every summer. And we have our research center, the Silent Circle, where we meet every morning. Right when they open, the hardcores are there, us. And we have coffee and cake and whisper what happened last night. And then we sneak away and go cavalcade and go into the new crop circles. And in the summer, there's like one or two or three every night.
Wow.
Wake up and there's at least one or two to go see almost every day in July for sure. June, every other day maybe when they're kind of warming up. But once the wheat and the barley and the corn and the canola has matured and ripened, that's when the circle makers love to hit them.
Mm. Well, it makes, you know, I think we're probably all in agreement, anyone who is, you know, familiar with or pursuing this type of subject matter, that if we are talking about beings that wish to communicate with us that we're probably talking about technology, if technology is even the correct term, that interfaces a mental application. In other words, I suppose we're talking about piloting craft that are where the craft are neurologically interfacing with the pilot. It seems to me that something with these plasma balls that you're talking about, and I have looked at a bit of the footage, but it seems as if they are being, you know, controlled, you know, remotely by thought patterns. Does that make any sense to you, or is that your feeling as well?
Well, my new interpretation completely blew me out of the water this summer, and that's why in my introduction it says new explanations. I have gone on totally intuition for 9 years in more than 100 crop circles, feeling that I'd point up to the sky and say, thanks, guys, you know, always thinking E.T. This summer, as I was doing some traveling, I stopped to visit people that I had been strangely introduced to. I mean, so psychic, so bizarre, how I was taken to this woman's house, and sure enough, it turned out to be the leading scientist, secret lab partner of Dr. William Levengood, who was the only scientist that ever went public in a scientific journal that crop circles were indeed real.
Wow.
And what their scientific study showed, which was absolutely remarkable, was that they're not coming from the sky necessarily, that they're actually, this blew my socks off, she had to repeat it three times, and I was like holding my head going, ow, wait a minute, you're expanding my thinking, ow. I mean, this is really, for me, a much bigger story because now everything's starting to make sense. What the Dr. Levengood and Penny Kelly came up with a tremendous amount of scientific research, was that these crop circle, initially the energies, frequencies, are coming up from the Earth.
Mm.
What we have here are pairs of spinning vortices, like these spinning, whirling tornadoes of frequency that are shooting out of the ground, typically in pairs, going counter-rotating to each other. In which case, they're both spinning, one to the right, one to the left, and pulling in, with intention, the perfect frequencies from ET, human consciousness, and emanating from the Earth, spinning into these really high-pitched frequencies of perfection to deliver these messages. And then somehow, and I'm not the scientist here, what we see as humans in the crop circles are these balls of light, they show up, the field goes down in seconds.
Yeah.
And they're coming out of the Earth, Leslie.
Well, you know, that makes an awful lot of sense to me. It makes an awful lot of sense, particularly when you think about, now we're talking about Wiltshire, which is, you know, the really sort of the epicenter. Yes, there are crop circles everywhere, but there's something very, very special about that part of the world. I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
It feels special. There's a special energy. There's a resonance. You know, there are the giant drawings on the side of the mountains in chalk from ancient peoples. And, of course, Avebury, which is maybe that's even more central than Stonehenge. But there are geophysical things going on there with water, I know that. And also, and I just read this recently, but I'm sure it's old news to you, that with ground-penetrating radar, they have just discovered an incredibly elaborate and huge underground tunnel system at Stonehenge.
Right, of course, yes.
It extends for miles beyond what, you know, what we see, the small, you know, the small circle that's been left, but it was a massive underground structure. So there's got to be there's unique Earth energies there. And why in God's name couldn't, you know, beings who are technologically capable be able to manipulate that Earth energy for communications with us? Why not?
Yes. And, you know, let's take it a little further, which is to think that why would the mother be drawing our attention to the crops in the last 40 years specifically? Oh,
yes.
200 years specifically. Why would the mother want us to be looking at the farm fields?
Yes.
Could it be because they've been poisoning our food?
Yeah.
I think so.
It doesn't get more obvious than that, does it?
Hmm?
I said it doesn't get more obvious than that, does it, Patty? There's an absolute reason why we are supposed to be focusing on what is actually growing out of the ground that we are ingesting.
Absolutely. So I think this is, again, one more way she is drawing our attention to what we need to be focusing on. And the crop circles, my God, how are we not talking about them? They are acres of wheat, seamlessly swirled down into these magnificent patterns. And you mentioned the binary codes. I mean, those are so meticulous and certainly not accidental. And you talk about the magic of this area, which is laced with sacred sites, yes. And this area, again, the epicenter is between Stonehenge and the Avebury Stone Circle. And everybody knows about Stonehenge and talks about it, but nobody hardly knows about Avebury, which is the largest ancient stone circle in all of Europe.
Yes,
that they
massive.
Have marched across Europe, pilgrimaged would be the word, for thousands of years.
Yes.
So the frequencies are so high here, of course they would choose it.
Of course they would. The atmosphere is even thick. I don't know how to explain it any other way. It feels thick in that part of the world. Now, Patty, what kinds of – I know there's a great variety of and just from looking at some of the wonderful examples you have up on your website – some of the crop circles look as if they're almost they're almost trying to convey elements. They look like nuclear tables. Some of them are spiritual and really just almost multidimensional when you look at them. They have a great effect on one's spirit. And some of them seem to be using a type of writing, but maybe it's all mathematics. What have you found, Patty?
That all of the above are true. And another really interesting element of having the languaging being art and math is that if six experts or six really creative, crafty, artistic, intelligent, intellectual people all look at the same photo of a crop circle, very easily you may find four different answers. Oh, no, it's absolutely this. Well, and everybody's correct. Depending on your awareness, your vibration, your frequency, you will see something different than the person next to you. And really, you see what you need. It's so cool because they're really delivering this on a very subliminal, high-frequency level. And again, the word frequency comes up a lot. And that's one of the ones that the scientists were using. But another completely astounding detail is this. And I don't know if you've heard this, but it was scientifically proven, and this was the documentation that went in the scientific journals. And Levengood is in the Guinness Book of World Records for writing more scientific papers in scientific journals than any other scientist on Earth. Mm-hmm. So he's very respected, and he's the only one that went public that crop circles are real. So how are we not talking about it? My goodness. So here's something that they did in the lab. They took wheat seeds and corn seeds and corn barley seeds, and they brought them into the lab, and they did these samples where they pulled crop circle wheat seeds from the center of the crop circle formation and from the outside of the crop circle formation and then a few hundred feet away in the same field of wheat to see which grew more. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, the crop circle wheat grew up to 400% more food.
Wow.
After being hit with whatever these high-frequency energies are, it grew almost four times the amount of food at up to 75% more nutritional value.
Incredible.
Really enhancing the quality of the food. Well, gee, once we get rid of Monsanto and all of these horrific, satanic things happening to our food, we're going to need these technologies. And here they are showing it to us in crop circles. The other thing they're showing us, I mean, we're getting so much information. For me, I sit and look at the images, and I met this bizarre guy in Holland. He won't talk on the phone. He won't go on Skype, but he sends me his art. And he started spinning the crop circles. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, my God, these are all propulsion. So when prop, like a spinning prop, you spin some of these crop circles or you spin some more and all of a sudden you've got hundreds of them and you're spinning going, oh, my God, these are all props. These are propulsion technologies.
Mm.
They are schematics for propulsion. So we're just getting all bombarded with all this information, and if we'll just stop being busy texting, reading about Kardashian's new shoes, or whatever other shallow shit we might be doing, we might actually realize that we are being communicated with by these wonderful higher dimensional beings, and it's right there in plain sight, and we're
indeed
just not looking.
Do you think that there are people on the earth who, through multiple lifetimes or increased awareness, understand these images at a deep level? In other words, they recognize them for what they are. Because, yes, we're saying, yes, they're propulsion, they're formulas for this, they're formulas for that. How do we get from the point to where a few insightful people, or there's a lot of insightful people, are able to convey this to the scientists who can actually put it into a practical application?
Really great question. It's all about the activation in each person's mind. It's all about looking at a crop circle. It's so simple. Look at it, activate. Look at the next one, activate. You might be totally numb on four in a row, and then I'll show you the fifth, and you go bang. So when I was the speaker a year ago at the International UFO Congress Convention, where I'm going in 2 weeks, I can hardly wait. I've shown
all wonderful. It's going to be great.
Oh, my God. 1,000 ufologists in one resort for a week.
Fantastic. Oh,
I love it. Yeah. Oh, it's so great. So I've shown all 6 of my movies there, and I was a speaker last year. So 2 weeks before the event, ever since that 2007 experience that I had, I called it out of body. Whatever it was, it changed me. And 6 months after that day, I made a full feature film by myself.
Mm.
6 months later, I made my second movie by myself. It was the strangest thing that could have come over me. It was like I was awakened at 3 every morning and downloaded with all this information.
What you're talking about is not that unusual, Patty. I've heard we've had several people who do work related to yours who talk about this download or upload that has occurred right out of nowhere, often in midlife. And so what you're talking about is there's a real commonality of that experience with the people that are here to wake everybody up, which includes yourself. I have no doubt that you're supposed to be here, right now.
Absolutely, and they're working me hard, I got to tell you. But, you know, I have loved it. I've left so much behind. I'd say 80% of who I was. I was a musician. I was all these things that I'm not now. Now I'm just really on the path of helping to wake people up through the messaging, get them to look, get them to listen. And so really what we were saying is how simple it is. It's really about looking at the message. And because it's art and math, it speaks to the whole sense, all of us, all 6 senses. You know, as you look at it, it activates whatever it is in the message, as well as all these different aspects of you. It doesn't make sound, but it makes you think. And so a lot of the sacred geometry is very subliminal. Some are like the flower of life, but what's the flower of life? They're all a mandala. What's a mandala? They're ancient symbols to remind us, just like you said, to remind us, to take us back to the wisdom, the ancient wisdom that really will save this planet. So a lot of the crop circles have been really blatant, again, to me, because I'm a reader, and I also listen. And I think the difference between being a contactee and being a listener is a real acceptance where, which I'm in, I just listen. And I do what I'm told, and I've never been obedient, I can tell you that. But it's how the movies have been made. It's like I hear it, I feel it, and then how can this person be right in front of me? But I go to events where, of course, all the great people go. So I make it easy on myself, and I get messages from them. So 2 weeks before the International UFO Congress, I had my PowerPoint laid out, and, you know, it's like I have all these great stories about how easy they make it while I'm filming. And they woke me up at 3, and it was very clear the message was, and it's all telepathic, speak to them in crop circles. And I went, what? Speak in crop circles. And all of a sudden I got it that I needed to have my presentation just be ridiculous amounts of photos that explain to the mind, with hardly any words, what they once said.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, cool, I can do that. Okay, now I'm going back to sleep. And it was like, you don't make deals, you don't get options. So by 5, I was like, oh, God, really? You know, and it's kind of funny that way, where it is a pleasure, but sometimes it's just like, oh, God, let me sleep. So I got up at 5. Next thing I knew, I had 321 photos, lockdown save, on my PowerPoint, and I showed 321 photos in 90 minutes. And they almost had, like, pull me off with a hook because I was so into it. And spinning them and the music and the videos. And the audience was just like, they got it. They totally got it. It was totally visual. And I had a standing ovation.
Oh, I bet you did.
And it wasn't me. It was that I listened. And I think it's a really important message for all of us, as well as all of us contactees. It's about listening and being willing to do the work.
Yeah.
And I used to be so defensive, or the leader, or the warrior of my life. And it's like, man, did I learn to listen?
Yeah.
And now I've got
slowed down and listened.
And these movies are so telling and fearless. I had no clue what I was doing over there, and I always had the camera going. And my experience were just in the face. So I started winning awards at the International UFO Congress, and, you know, for me it's been like a Disneyland ride-y ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what's around the next corner. And so I've won 3 EBE awards, which are these gorgeous pewter aliens that are like 2 feet tall with a movie camera on their shoulder. And what they're saying is, we want this information. And here I am in the world of huge suppression, and I've no idea what I'm doing, and bang, I got taken by three different distributors. My movies went hidden. All my, most of my income just went away, and my movies disappeared. So it's been a real stunning, telling time. Not only have my movies been hidden by distributors, really dishonoring, but very intentional, but my website's been hacked relentlessly.
Well, you've risen above all of this. These are things that, you know, unfortunately here at Contact, we hear a lot about this type of stuff, Patty, from authors, big authors, people that would surprise you, who've had their material either suppressed or stolen or buried. This is what you've experienced is sadly not uncommon. But, you know, I was going to mention you were talking about everything being vibration, which I completely agree with, and certainly Einstein agreed with that, and Tesla. Don't you think that your path, which included your work as a musician, sensitized you in a way to the subtle vibrations that I think are probably emanating from these crop circles? I don't think they're just one-dimensional. I don't think they're just linear drawings. My instinct tells me that they're multidimensional in a way. And when you said they don't make a sound, I'm not sure that that's really true.
There are people that hear sounds in the crop circle. So everybody, you know, experiences it differently. You're right. And how you're describing the multidimensional effect of the crop circle pattern, maybe being 3D, full D, 5D, 7D, really is very clear. Foster Gamble did it in his Thrive movie, where he showed the human has this big torus field of energy, goes out the top of our head, around us, energizes us, comes back out of the earth and circles again, which is also how the earth runs her fields, which is also coming right out of the center of a crop circle, most likely, and a big torus effect of that field is full. Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
I agree.
Wow.
So another thing, you hit on a lot of things. You obviously do your research and know the subjects, and you've been to Wiltshire, so you know the magic of that land. Ooh,
yes.
Right?
Probably in more than one lifetime, I think.
Right?
Frankly.
Right? So even today, you go walk down in the streets of Glastonbury, and there's men with swords in cases over their shoulders. Swords.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, you know, in America we have guns like in every cowboy truck and girl's purse. But, you know, over there it's swords.
It's swords. That's right.
Leather
That's
cases.
Right. That's
it
very
really
true.
Is ancient. Ancient.
It is alive.
It is ancient. Yeah, the druid and all that. I do want to invite people to go to my website, which is pattygreer.com, PattyGreer. I have 6 movies with 6 trailers, 7 trailers, And The Shift Has Hit the Fan is my newest and most rambunctious movie. I filmed most of it at the Breakthrough Energy Movement Conference,
yes,
where I interviewed one of the many people making free energy devices. So important. Serial Effect Generator, their goal, which is going to most likely be happening, if not already happening now, is to be able to, for $1,500, sell you a free energy generator,
mm-hmm,
that you get moving once, and there's two layers of magnets that spin. And they're magnets, so they keep attracting each other. They run on air.
Mm.
It needs no fuel. The magnets never touch. They just are magnetizing, so they keep the motion going. So
yeah,
there's no wear and no repairs and no fuel ever, and it will last a lifetime. For $1,500, it'll power your home. For $2,500, they're thinking it'll power big buildings. And they have been at it for decades. And I put them in the movie right there. Just he gave the best interview.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful machine. It's gorgeous also. I stuck it on the cover. And John Cyril himself, who's been at it forever, approved the movie. And he loved the thing on the cover, the Cyril Effect Generator, stating that you will go far by showing that on, you know, so boldly. Bang,
yeah,
it got suppressed off Amazon two, three months before Christmas. I mean,
wow,
it's just, it's so bizarre how scared the last of the oil minions are.
Oh, they're terrified.
They're terrified
Patty.
They're evolving,
terrified.
And they can't. Come on, you guys, join us.
Yeah. No, they're so scared. They're so embedded in false values. They're so disassociated from their spirituality. They're so disassociated from everything but greed, and that itself is such a low vibration. I mean, these people who are perpetuating the fossil fuel industry, who are, you know, engaged in this kind of sabotage and everything else, their vibrations are very low, and they are on their way out. Our children are going to know a world of free energy, where people are not enslaved to these types of horrific poisonings and abuse of the earth, Mother Nature, and everything else. Our children are going to see a different world. And I believe, as you so eloquently discussed in the clip that I saw from your recent film, this is going to happen at a grassroots level. People are going to be able to afford these wonderful energy units, just like you were describing, and I saw the picture of it. It looks great. This is going to happen. It cannot be suppressed, and some of that has to do with the internet. There's no way for these people to get away with the BS that they have gotten away with. It's just everybody is on them all the time. So we are going to see change. It's not the way I envisioned it as a girl. I thought we'd have flying cars and be teleporting. We can do all that, but I think first we have to basics. Just like the crop circles are saying, first we have to heal the earth. First we have to heal our bodies, our poor bodies. So all of this is going to happen, and you're part of this whole incredible movement, Patty, and the work that you're doing is so very, very important. Now, I hope you don't mind, Patty. We're just going to take a second here to announce our phone numbers in case anybody would like to call in. I know the chat room has been very busy. Folks, we are talking to the wonderful Patty Greer. We are live. We are on contact, and we are discussing crop circles and anything and everything to do with that. And you can call in from within Canada or elsewhere, Europe, whatever, on 424-220-1861. And if you're calling in from the United States, you may use our toll-free line at 888-891-3884. And we just want to very, very quickly thank our sponsors, because without our sponsors, there would be no contact radio. We'd like to thank Euphoria. We'd like to thank Variety Store Productions. We would like to thank Conspiracy Culture Bookstore and Enchanted Reveries Jewelry, and also the Ontario Hypnosis Convention, and most importantly, the Alien Cosmic Expo 2015. So those are our generous and wonderful sponsors. Now, I have been dominating everything, and I apologize, Wes. So I'm just going to – Wes, I'm sure you must have a question or two for our wonderful guest here that you probably – I see that look on your face. I know there's something you want to ask, so please.
So, Patty, we're very glad to have you on the show. We look forward to meeting you in June. This is going to be very cool for us. I've been typing out notes furiously because it's really piqued my interest in a number of ways. But what I wanted to comment on to you, and it's funny, it's ironic. The equipment that's surrounding us this very moment. Leslie and I have computers happening. I have my phone beside me. She has hers. I'm looking at several different screens at the same time. All of this is our ridiculous imitation of binary code.
Yes.
and we pursued it. We have pursued this relentlessly to almost the extent of all else.
And is binary code, in fact, the universal, the galactic language, Patty?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I know it's one of the many they use.
Yeah.
And in my movie Crop Circle Update, The Wake Up Call, I do this long story about the binary code crop circle at, what one was that? The Chill Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
There were two, one year after the other. There was the Arecibo message. There was the mirror image of a message we sent out into space in 1974, and it came back at the turn of the century, 2001 or 2, and it was a binary code. And I have this incredible photo from ground level of the binary code, and it's just meticulous. And, you know, in 3 hours of darkness, in the middle of the night, in the middle of a field, I can't imagine laying down a meticulous binary code message when you are up in a microlight or a helicopter flying mm-hmm. over taking photos, that there's not a hair out of place. I mean,
indeed,
these things are meticulous before the people walk in. And the interesting thing about these two binary code messages that were really important was that both of them, 8 miles apart, 1 year apart, were in a field, not arbitrary, chosen that had a telecommunication tower. A huge tower with satellite dishes to get the information out. So, you know, the mother is saying, here we go. We're here right between two ley lines. There's water, which they need for 97% of the documented crop circles have an aquifer or an underground stream. So all of them are sitting over water, yeah.
I had no idea that there was a connection.
Oh, yeah, high
between...
90 percentile are also on a ley line, many of them on a crossing of two ley lines.
Ah.
Very intentional locations.
Yes,
and
yes, indeed.
Some of the same fields get hit year after year because they're sitting right there on the Mother Mary line, the Michael Mary line.
Mm.
Through Glastonbury, through the Avery Stone Circle, and all through England, yeah. And major line goes right through the Avery Stone Circle, very high vibrational places. That's why the mystics would walk across Europe to be there at certain times of the year.
Indeed. And who's to say that these unique geophysical situations don't stimulate our pineal glands? That we don't have as you mentioned, you know, you were healed. You were healed from mercury poisoning. I imagine that there are probably quite a few instances of people being healed from everything, probably from cancer to arthritis to what have you.
I've heard great stories, but no, I'm still not done with mine.
Oh.
Mine was about healing. Mine was about they needed to fully distract me.
Mm-hmm.
Fully distract me from my life so I do this work. No, I was a harpist, pianist, singer, songwriter for 33 years, and what happened when I got poisoned? It destroyed my fingertips.
I was just going to say,
I still have Band-Aids on my fingertips, some of them. Oh, it sucks.
I was going to ask you about that, about your ability to... I'm sorry, go ahead, Patty.
I went to a dentist and trusted him to put white porcelain fillings in, as agreed. Woke up from his free nitrous oxide, and I had a mouthful of new mercury fillings.
Oh.
He said while I was unconscious, I changed my mind. I'm like, yeah, that happened.
Oh, that's great,
later,
right?
6 months later, my fingertips went down. But 3 years earlier, I had balls of light in my bedroom and had absolute proof positive that that happened. So, you know, all this was really interestingly orchestrated. And even though my fingertips are still a little bit hurt, mm-hmm. and I don't sharp anymore, ever, I'm extremely grateful for this distraction because my life has become an absolute fascinating journey. So here's the coolest punchline, because God bless Canada, here I come. One of your major TV producers, and I'm not going to say their name yet, came to the UFO Congress, saw me speak, and 4 months later, we went to Europe, filmed the best crop circle movie I have ever made. We had a real cameraman with a drone. We had a drone flying over the formations. The most incredible footage. And my favorite day, I took Sasha Stone out in his first crop circle. Sasha Stone is in The Shift Has Hit the Fan. I met him there.
Oh, yes, the English gentleman with the beautiful hair, right?
Yeah, the head of the New Earth Nation. He's absolutely probably one of the smartest people I've ever met. We've done a number of shows together now. I feel really honored that he loves me and, you know, calls me. The last show I did was with Stephen Bassett, Sasha Stone, and Doug Lindman, who created Liquid Solar Free Energy that is headed April 2nd to the space station as one of the 12 Earth inventions this year that is being tested up there.
Oh, my goodness.
Liquid
solar
energy takes in. He's had two little glass bottles that he shook. They look glass. That he kind of shook and sprayed on the surface, and even incandescent light bulbs would create energy onto the surface of whatever he sprayed. It would take in natural light or light from light bulbs and create energy, store it, and then have it be usable.
Incredible. That's
so, I mean, what's fun for you, both of you, and myself, is that now we're, like, interacting with some of the smartest people in the world. Don't you feel flattered,
with
half the people you interviewed? Like, oh, my God, I can't believe I know you.
I feel flattered and exhilarated and in every possible way. I mean, you know, we've, like yourself, you know, I had a whole another life before doing this as a singer and actor performer, went through a physical thing that happened as a singer. I had a hemorrhage in my throat that prevented me, really stopped my career. And you know, it's like your Mercury thing. It took that much to stop me from, you know, living in an ego-based, you know, kind of way. And then I did go back to school and become a certified clinical hypnotherapist, and then the radio show's been on the air about 5 years. And it's been a progression like that. But sometimes very dramatic things that I think we sort of plan ourselves come in to save us from a path that isn't our highest path. You know, we're supposed to do our highest path. But I agree, I'm absolutely grateful and stunned and thrilled by the amazing people we get to talk to, all of us. I was going to mention something about, speaking of the orbs and the plasma and healing, now you probably are totally aware of this, but you know, Dr. Stephen Greer and his wife were both suffering from cancer. They were both dealing with cancer. I'm not sure what kind. I just know they had wanted to keep it private. But they were at one of their... Pardon me?
This is recent?
It's fairly recent. His wife's cancer, she's been cancer-free for about a year now, I think. But they were both battling cancer a couple of years ago, and it wasn't... Nobody knew. But he's come out recently to talk about this thing I'm just going to mention. So they were at their, they have a location in Joshua Tree, which I think is Arizona, not sure, but yes. So they were doing their meditation. They have Stephen Greer has developed a Vedic type of meditation that is used for eliciting communication and interaction. It's the C5 protocol. So there was a point in the early evening where I think Stephen Greer and his wife were in their bedroom. I guess there must be a lodge or something there, I'm not sure. But a lot of their colleagues were standing around, and the colleagues of Stephen Greer and his wife saw two plasma orbs go through the window of Stephen Greer's room. And they said, "Oh my God, look at that. You know, that's where they are." Now, Stephen Greer only recently, within the past few months, talked about what actually happened. And the only reason he talked about it is because people had witnessed the orbs, the plasma orbs going into his room. Apparently, in his room, the plasma orbs transmuted into luminous beings who essentially healed them. So that, and you can hear, if you go on YouTube, some of Stephen Greer just recently talked about this. So it's kind of new information. But here again, we have exactly what you're talking about. We're talking about plasma balls, energy balls that are tools for either communication or maybe healing.
Right. Well, I will, because you mentioned it, tell you that I have a very similar story. And in 2001, I woke up one morning. I had a house I'm in the Rocky Mountains. I heard you said you're in a deep freeze. It snowed here 6 inches. I'm in the Rocky Mountains at about 8,500 feet.
Oh, wow.
So we had beautiful snow. I woke up. There's all these deer outside and the birds. I'm a feeder. And so, you know, if you feed them, they will come. So it was just like a circus out there today. It was great. But I had my house up in the mountains in a different place back then in 91, and I was dating a man for 4 years, and I had a lot of wildlife there at that house also. I've always been a feeder, and I was hand-feeding the deer, and I had a fox that came every day, and so my boyfriend was, you know, he knew I was kind of a, I guess you'd call it a Boulder, Colorado mountain girl, but I was always outside for hours with my wildlife, and I was sleeping one night with him next to me, and I got up in the morning and he was nose on nose with me, which really freaked me out. And I kind of woke up quickly with him on my face and said, "Hi, good morning." And he was staring at me and he said, "Do you remember what you said in your sleep last night?" I was like, "Well, no, I just woke up." He said, "You woke me up and you said, it's not what you see, it's what you don't see." I was like, "Wow." I like it. Great lyrics for a song. And the guy owned a big recording studio in Denver. I was recording down there. He was my boyfriend. It was great. So I was like, "Wow, great lyrics. I'm going to go write that down." And he grabbed my wrist and he goes, "Oh, no. No, I need to tell you what happened." And he was really freaked out.
Wow.
And he said, "First you said that, and then you said, it's not who you know, it's who you really are. In your sleep, I remember every word because it really freaked me out that you woke me up with that, and I've been awake all night. But what happened next," and then he really grabbed my wrist, he said, "it looked like somebody was driving a car behind the house, did a U-turn, came toward the house, and I realized there's no road, it's a mountain." And he said, "a ball of light came through your wall of your bedroom." Now, this is 2001, before I knew any of this, and I just woke up. I thought. So I was like, "Wow, honey, cool dream." He said, "It wasn't a dream." Then the second ball came through the wall. He said, "When the first one came through, it was white on the outside and white when it came through the wall. He watched it circle the bedroom ceiling, and he shook me so hard that the headboard was hitting the wall. And he was yelling my name in my face, and I wouldn't wake up." When the second ball of light came through the wall, it was white. And then when it came through the wall, it was bright green, he said, like a glow stick. Mm-hmm. And it circled the ceiling. And he was so freaked out that he said he was screaming and shaking me, my whole body, and I wouldn't wake up.
Wow.
And I just watched him. I just listened. I had no idea that I had been taken. I had no idea what he was talking about. I thought it was a dream. And then I got up, I just stared at him, and I looked on the wall behind the bed, and sure enough, he had chipped the wall away on both sides with a headboard. And that guy got up out of bed, looked at me, and it was our last date. Way to lose a guy, right?
We have an expression in Yiddish that says, lizem gain. It means just let him go.
You didn't have an option, lizem gain. Lizem gain.
Lizem gain. Do you think that, you know, we obviously, you know, I do an awful lot of work with individuals who have had abduction experiences, and very often there are lights, there is light, there are orbs, and I think that when we, I don't like even the term abduction myself. I don't like to use it, but I think what does happen and what probably occurred with you is there was a kind of a bilocation. In other words, your dense physical body didn't need to go anywhere. It was just sort of turned off, and your etheric body probably had some kind of an incredible experience. And if you ever wanted to explore it, we could certainly do that with hypnosis.
I did my three-hour regression with Mary Rodwell in Glastonbury in 2010.
Ah.
But thank you.
And no need for me then.
Oh, no, I appreciate that, because it is the most important work. And my boyfriend, I finally met another wonderful man, ran my camera, three different rolls of film, 3 hours, and I totally remembered where they took me. And I realize now, as I look back on the whole experience, that in 2001, definitely, I had the experience with the balls of light.
Yeah.
And where I went, I don't want to go into the details because it just sounds so out there. But ultimately, I do believe it was the, they called it the Library of Illumination, the Akashic Records Library.
Oh, yeah.
And
people
I think I think it is what's happening to those of us, you most likely, and a lot of your listeners, that all of a sudden know a lot and aren't interested in any of the old stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just not impressed by anything anymore other than this.
Yeah.
And those of us that are pioneering the new paradigm in, the old way, all these laws and stuff that Congress is passing, the XL pipeline, the fracking,
oh,
I mean, it is just the lowest form of their last-ditch effort to be bad, be naughty, be pleased.
They're naughty, and they've lost, and they're desperate. It's kind of like our mayor, Rob Ford, here in Toronto, but that's another story. But
oh, my God, that is embarrassing. But, you know, I got to tell you, when I spoke at Richard Surrett's event, the Conspiracy Summit in Oshawa.
Oh, yes,
I met the mayor there. And when he went and took office, it was fascinating. I just spoke there in November, and I had lunch with the mayor. And I couldn't believe how humble and giving. I said, wow, how interesting you'd come to a UFO conspiracy summit as a mayor. He said, I go to everything that happens in town. I said, how many things do you go to a day? This is Sunday. He said, on average, 16, sometimes 11. And he said, and when I got the job, I gave back the car, and I drive my own. And I don't want expense accounts for any of us. I turned all that in. I'm like, could you run for president, please, of, like, every country? So, you know, right around the corner from your guy who drinks too much is the mayor of Oshawa, who's so integral. Setting an example.
That's a big tradition, and you know they're called the Lord Mayors. It's a big Commonwealth tradition here. I think that the mayors are infinitely more responsive to their communities than you find in the United States. And I'm speaking as an American. I was born in New York City, but I'm very pleased that you had that positive experience. And I think it's very typical of our regional mayors. They take their responsibilities very seriously. They really do.
Well, he was absolutely lovely, and I remembered leaving thinking differently about politics through him.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Wonderful punchline that I want to leave your audience with is that even though I have been hacked. I can't even believe how badly hacked. They actually went on last Christmas when I started my program, the Crop Circle Update movie, running on PBS Channel 12 in Colorado and surrounding states. It ran like 25, 30 times last year. That's a lot of exposure for disclosure. That's
it is,
a lot of
Patty.
Exposure in your face, which is really, really wonderful. So at the UFO Congress, where I listened and spoke in crop circles and showed 300 and had everybody stand up and go, oh, my God, I get it. And when I say lots of crop circle pictures, it would be specific categories where I'd say,
we're here.
Who is our help?
Yeah, I'm afraid it's time to go, Patty. I apologize for this.
Oh,
run out of time.
Come to my website.
We'll announce your website once again. For more about Patty Greer, just go to pattygreer.com. You can find all of her films, a lot of marvelous information. And do go to the aliencosmicexpo.com website and come see Patty this June. She will be there. Thank
Fun
you so
talking
much, Patty.
To you. And hello, Wes. Sorry, the girls got cabbing.
We'll just have to have you back real soon.
Thank you. Well, hello, everybody in Canada. Love you. And hello, America. We'll talk again.
Thank you so much, Patty. Bless you for
good
the
night.
Work you do. And good night.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye now.